Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Let's pray together even as we begin, as we get into God's Word. God, I'm grateful for this very moment. I thank you that your Word is your will for us. I thank you that your Word is life. I thank you that when your word is proclaimed and Jesus is proclaimed, you are able to bring life where there's death. I pray that our hearts in this place, online, wherever we are, that may we be able to receive this word, because the word that you receive and we do is what brings change and transformation in our lives. So would you bless our time together? In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody say the big amen. Amen and amen. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, it's in the New Testament, just reminding you, chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. And as you open that part, also keep one finger, okay? That's if you have a real Bible like this one right here, right? Colossians 3:16. I want to encourage you, most of the time, please get this paper Bible, because you don't need to charge it, all right? And you don't get notifications every time you're opening it. You know, the only notification is the Holy Spirit telling you, yeah, obey that word. All right? So Colossians 3:16, because I'm going to hover around that section of scripture. So Colossians 2:6-7 is where we have derived the theme of the new series that we are preaching through, teaching through, that we are calling Rooted in Christ. Everybody say, Rooted in Christ. Now, to be rooted is similar to being planted. And so I'm going to be using those words interchangeably, or anchored. And so even as pastors, we were thinking, should we use rooted, anchored? Should we use grounded? And so we said, no, let's use the real word the Bible says here. So here Paul says in verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2, where our theme comes from, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So Paul is saying, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, how? By grace through faith. Continue to live in him by faith. And enjoying the gift of grace. Rooted, planted, anchored, grounded. And when you are rooted in Jesus, what happens? You are going to be built up. Something is going to happen to you. Transformation is going to happen to you. You also are going to be strengthened. Your faith is going to grow. Because as we come into Christ, there's an expectation of growth. So God is going to strengthen your faith as you are being taught, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word. So you need the word of God. You need to be taught. Listen to the word and do the word. And then the overflow of that is thankfulness, the fruit that God desires from you. And so last week we got to introduce this series, and we said that we must be rooted in Christ because he's supreme, he's above everything else. Every other deity, every other religious figure that tries to take your attention cannot compare to Jesus. In Colossians 1, go and read it again. Paul, from verse 19 to 20, highlights how Jesus is supreme. He is above every other deity. Tell me if there is any other God who said he would die and then 3 days will be raised again and never to die again, and I'll follow him all my life. His name is Jesus. There's no other. He is supreme. We must be grounded in him. Next, we must be grounded in him because the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was completely sufficient to save you and to keep you saved for the rest of your life. Say amen to that. You don't need to add anything else to Jesus to be saved. It is not Jesus and an offering. It's not Jesus and anything else. If you add to what God has done, you're saying, God, the work you did is not enough. Jesus is sufficient to save you and to keep you saved. So be rooted in him. But also he said, be rooted because he holds all the wisdom and the knowledge. And you know, today there's what we call the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. Okay? Many Christians quote the word of man more than the word of God. Let me tell you, friends, it's more powerful for you to quote the word of God than the word of man. In fact, as I'm preaching, you got to make sure that I'm lining up with what God says. And if I say anything that contradicts God's word, please reject it, because only the word of God matters. Only the word of God is for your flourishing. The word of man has limitation, but the word of God has no limitation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So stay rooted in God's word. That's what we saw last week. Now today, we want to look at the kind of environment that enables you to flourish in your relationship with Christ. Now, last week I used an illustration of a plant. You see, a plant must be rooted in the soil, and the more the roots or the root system goes deeper in the soil, the more it grows and bears more fruit. It is the same with us. Our roots must grow deep in Christ because it has all the nutrition that you need for your growth and for your fruitfulness. If you want to become Christ-like, go deeper in Jesus. That's what this series is all about. You need to be rooted, grounded in Him if you want to grow and flourish. Because if you are not rooted, you are not grounded, what happens is you are going to drift. You see what happens when a boat on the Lake Victoria is at the shore but it has no anchor that is keeping it in one place. When the waves come, they're going to make it drift, and the owner is going to come and find the boat is lost. If we are not grounded in Jesus, what happens? We are going to drift away to all this nonsense around wrong teachings, and we are going to be stunted in our faith. We won't become fruitful. And so we must be rooted. We must be grounded. That's so important. And so one of the areas we must be grounded, rooted, is we must be rooted or grounded or anchored in the Word of God. We must be devoted to God's Word. That's key. And that's what I'm going to talk about today for the next couple of minutes. You must be rooted in Christ. And so Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the message of Christ or the word of God dwell. Everybody say dwell. Not visit. Dwell among you richly as you do what? Teach. Admonish one another with all the wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Let the word of God dwell. I love that word, dwell. Remain. It's the picture we get from John 15. Jesus said that I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. Remain in me, dwell. Stay. Don't visit, remain. And when you remain in me, my life is going to ensure it brings fruitfulness in your life. And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so here Paul is telling us, God is telling us, if we are going to grow in our faith, if we are going to become fruitful in the life God has called us, if you're going to be fruitful in your marriage, in your business, in your leadership, in your parenting, whatever, you just fill in the blanks, you must be grounded, remain, dwell, let the word of God dwell, because the word of God is God's will for your life. Be devoted to God's word. It is good for your growth. It's good for your fruitfulness. Be rooted in God's word. Be devoted to God's word. Let the word of God dwell. Wow, that's powerful. I love that. Because through God's word, we get to understand who God is. But also we get to learn who we are. You don't even know who you are. I love the message paraphrase of Ephesians 1. It must be about verse 19. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are, and what we're living for. If you are confused about God's purpose for your life, it is in Christ you get to know. You don't look within to find purpose. You look up to Jesus to find your purpose and why you exist here on earth. So we get to understand who we are, our identity. It is through the word of God we get to understand that. But also we know how we ought to please him. We get to discern what is wrong. How do you know error? There must be truth. How do you know a line is crooked? There must be a straight line. And the word of God is that straight line that helps you to know this is crooked. How do you know the right person to marry? The word of God. How do you know the right place to invest your money? God's word has wisdom. How do you know how to lead successfully at your place of work? God's word is filled with principles to enable you. Come on, somebody, say amen to that. I think this is some good stuff in this place. And that's why we must be devoted. That's why we must be people of God's word. That's why the word of God must dwell in us. We must dwell in the word until the word dwells in us. I love that, isn't it? But also the word of God is going to enable you to endure trials. In fact, one of the tests of knowing how grounded, how rooted, how planted you are is the way you respond to trials when they come your way. Because trials, just like in any plant, when the storms come and the plant easily falls down, the problem is the root system. So when you easily fall because of trials and temptations in your life, check how deep are your roots in Christ. Maybe your roots have been deep in other kinds of stuff. Bring it to Jesus. Amen. So we must be rooted and grounded in God's word. So three commitments for a rooted life. Number one is be devoted to studying God's word. That sounds deep, right? I love God's word because God's word is not complex. It is so simple, but it's not simplistic. I must say that again. When I say something like that, you're like, hey, Pastor Eddie, give me something that is more, you know, has more meat. It is as simple as this. Study God's word. How much time are we spending in God's word? Psalm number one, which is really the summary and the opening of the whole book of Psalms, talks about how blessed is a person who does not walk, is not grounded, rooted in the counsel of the ungodly, sinners, and the mockers, but his delight is in God's word. On this word, he meditates day and night. And because they meditate on the word of God day and night, they study God's word. They're just not ticking the box, getting verse of the day, and then they go and get other words. They are meditating. They take time to study. Think about it. Pray through it. What happens, the Bible says, that they are like a tree that is planted by the waters. And then the psalmist goes on to say, this tree bears fruit in and out of season, and its leaf will never wither. And whatever that person does, prospers. Man, I want to be that kind of person. Where is the key? God's word. Yep. Study God's word. Let God's word be a priority in your life. Now, this is easily said, but we live in a day of distractions. We are so distracted. Every morning you wake up, you get your phone, the first thing, notification. That means we have to fight for our attention. And may I suggest to you, a total family, that if we are going to be people who are going to be fruitful in our season, in our relationships, in our workplace, wherever we are, we must make sure that we fight to ensure that God's word takes priority in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to be drifters. Drifting is only good with these Subaru car drivers in Kampala. God bless you. You need to be saved. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had devoted himself to study and observe the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees. Devotion. So verse of the day is good, but that's a supplement to your studying time. Amen? Even the devotion that comes from a daughter church is a supplement to your study. You need to get a Bible. And if you don't know where to begin, let me give you a place to begin. The book of John. Don't go to Revelation yet. Even Leviticus. Begin there. But also, Get into our equipped streams. We will enable you, we'll teach you how to study God's word. Adventure in the Word. We have a stream called Adventure in the Word that helps you to understand how to begin a journey of studying God's word. Because God's word shows you how you ought to live your lives. You see, all these books that have been written by people called gurus, and we think they have principles at work, they got those from God's word. Let's be people of the word, amen. Not man's word, God's word. We must be people who are studying God's word. Understand it and then apply it to yourself. So studying is important. And so tomorrow is Monday. May I suggest the first thing on the menu of the things to do on Monday should be studying God's word. When you read a paragraph and you don't understand it, go to the next. Just keep going. And then you ask, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want me to learn from this? He's going to reveal something to you. But then later, as you get into these equipped streams, which I'll give you some Bible study tools that will enable you to understand how to interpret scripture, but also to apply it to yourself. So we all must be students of the word, not only the pastor. You know, the Bible says, study to show yourself a man who is approved, who rightly divides the word of truth. The Bible is clear. In our day-to-day, the Bible is not a reserve of the priest, of the pastor. You need to have your own Bibles and read them. And let's be like those Christians in Berea. When they were preached to, they opened the Bibles like, let's see. Are you saying what is true? And when we're people who are students of the word, what's going to happen? We won't be drifting because of wrong doctrines all around us. We shall be rooted. And what's going to happen? Fruit is going to be born in our lives. That's the first thing, first commitment. Be a student of God's word. Secondly, you know, knowledge puffs up. It's not enough to just study and know the word. The second step is this. We must be doers of the word. Sounds very simple, right? It is. But not simplistic again. We must be people who are obedient to what God says. Now, when we hear the word obedience, sounds has more gravitas to it. Obedience is the next step. Study is the first step. Secondly, how do I apply this word is obedience. And so Colossians 1, Paul is saying here, verse 9 and 10, let me read from this thing that never turns off. It's called the Bible. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you to share in his inheritance. And it goes on and on. So Paul is saying here that when we obey God's word, what happens is we begin to experience the fruit of God's word. When we obey, what happens? There's going to be fruit in our lives. Now, this means, obedience means that we align with what God's word says. Because we say Jesus is the Lord. In other words, he calls the shots. I don't. When it comes to the relationship I have with my wife, who calls the shots? Not my culture. It's Jesus. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, that is death. But mine is to obey and to trust the Lord. Amen. Wives, submit your husbands. Oh, no. He does not deserve. Maybe. But the Lord says, you do that and let God do his work. Obedience is better than to sacrifice. It's through obedience that we get to experience the blessing of God's word. I love that. Obedience. You see, knowledge without obedience makes us proud. You remember knowledge puffs up? The amount of scripture you have, you know, does not equal the amount of obedience you have. Yes, let's be students of God's word. Memorize scripture, but it's useless if we do not obey. Because our faith, our trust in the Lord, is demonstrated through our obedience. James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his epistle, chapter 2, he talks about people who were boasting that they had faith, but they didn't have any works. And he says, show me your faith through your works. You say you believe. And he said, even the demons actually, they know God exists. James is saying, can we be better than demons? They know, they do not obey. For us, we know, we get to obey. And the more you obey, the more fruit you experience in your life. The more you obey, the more miracles you experience in your life. The more you obey, the more health and growth and strength you experience. You don't get strength and then you obey. No, you obey and then God follows through. That's how I've seen the Lord work. Peter said, Jesus, if that is you, bid me to come from the boat to the sea. Jesus said what? Come. And Peter had no insurance. That water didn't fast freeze. There was no bridge. But as Peter stepped out of the boat, the word made him float on the water. Peter didn't walk on water. Peter walked on the word. Peter walked on the word. Because he said, it is me, come. He walked on the word that God gave him and he was sustained. So the more you obey, the more you experience fruit in your life. And God will never give you more until you have been faithful with the little you he has entrusted with you. That's another principle in God's word. He does that. As you obey, God reveals more of himself. So rootedness grows through faithfulness in the small things. So he says, forgive. But this guy's been hurting me. Forgive. Be generous, but I have little. You know, friends, this is what I'm learning, and this is the journey I'm on. I've learned that every time I'm in need of finances is the time that the Lord is telling me give the most. Strength. That is my journey. I don't know about you. I've been places where I've been needing certain amounts of money, lots of them, and then I kind of like raise my eyes like this and I see a need and I sense God say, give. I'm like, but I don't have enough for this. But the more I have obeyed with that instruction, I've seen the Lord supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Obey. Trust and obey. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your understanding is so limited. If he says, be generous, give. Trust him. He owns everything. He says, forgive. Trust him. He's the one who forgave you on the cross and he will give you the grace to carry you and overcome the bitterness in your life. Obey him. If he says, dump that dude, you are in a relationship that is unholy. Get out. But no. Flee from youthful lusts. Don't even bring your Bible between you and your whatever that person is. Just obey and watch what God does as a fruit of your obedience. So, if we are going to be rooted, grounded, immovable in Christ, so we can become fruitful, we study God's word, but also we must make sure that we obey the word, and then fruit is going to be the result. We all like fruit, but fruit is a result of remaining in obedience to his word. Amen. So let's be rooted in obedience. But also, thirdly, we need to be devoted to sharing God's word. Now, some of us, I've had people say, you know what, but Pastor, man, we've been hearing the same message over. Is there something more you can teach us? We need some deeper teaching. You know, deeper. In other words, you want me to come on a Sunday and Greek you and Hebrew you
And say, yeah, now that is deep. Yeah, Pastor, now that is deep. Now, I can do that. But I won't do that.
This is what I've learned. If we are going to grow in Christ and become fruitful, that is needed, but that's not essential.
What I've learned is the more you become a vehicle to give what you have learned, the more the Lord is going to entrust you with more.
So we must be sharing what we are learning. We do the things in conferences, teach to learn. Have you had that term before? You go for a management leadership. They say teach to learn. Then you go back to your place of work on Monday. You begin to pass on what you've learned. How about the word of God, which is eternal?
So what we need to do is we need to be sharing God's word. Now, if you're saved 1 week, there is something the Lord has done for you that you can share with your friend. In fact, the first week of my salvation is, I think, was the week I spoke more about Jesus in my life. Because I was excited. I didn't have lots of roots theologically, but I said, man, do you know what God has done for me? He has saved me. That was my sharing of God's word. Maybe that's what you have. Share that. Remember in John chapter 4, when this woman at the well met Jesus and Jesus saved her, she runs back to her city and says, come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Now, this was the prostitute. Can you imagine? She had been delivered from shame, guilt, and said, come and see the one who changed my life. And the whole city came to Jesus, and the whole city got saved. One encounter, not even a week in salvation, the city got to know about Jesus. Come on. There is no one who is so young in the faith to share God's word with other people. Just do it. Share God's word. Preach God's word. But also, I want to challenge us as the church family here at Wototo. We celebrated 15,400 people who walked to receive Jesus. Each of these individuals matters. They need somebody to walk with them. It's one thing to have a massive harvest. It's another thing to take care of those babies and raise them up to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And it's going to take intentionality. Now, we say here at Wototo that each one reaches one. That's evangelism. Touching those around us with love of Jesus, part of our vision statement. Each one reach one. But may I add to that? Each one disciple one. How about that? So if your cell has received possibly 3 people who gave their lives to Christ, don't just say, cell leader, that's your responsibility. You who wants to go deeper, just say, let's walk together in the faith. Each one walking with one. Jesus walked for 3 years with 12 men. For them to be empowered to carry the message of the movement until today. 3 years. And this is the Son of God. Divine. How much more you and I? That means we got to be committed over a long shot. I have children. I've been married to my wife for 18 years. And I have 3 of them. Oh, my. What a journey we are taking. Every day is discipleship. Oh, ye of little faith, how long am I going to be with you? The Lord is saying, yeah, you are the chief disciple of this house. They are yours. I said, give me grace. And I'm glad I see some fruit here and there, yeah? I celebrate. So may I encourage you to begin to see a walk with people who are young in the faith like a parenting relationship. It's long term. It's commitment. It's unconditional love. People are going to fall, but we don't condemn them. Say, now you, how many times am I going to take you away from the drugs? You are going to embrace them, say, I'm not happy what you're doing, but I love you. We are going to walk all the way. Each one walking with one. Let's be devoted to sharing God's word. Amen? So, rooted in Christ, what am I saying? The Bible says, let the word of God dwell richly in your hearts.
Because through the word of God, we get to know who we are. We get to know who God is. We get to know God's will for our lives. That word is so rich. It affects every facet of your life. When we are rooted in Christ and his word, there's going to be fruitfulness. So let's be students of the word. Commit to studying God's word beginning this week. If your appetite for God's word hasn't been very high, don't say, this week I'm going to read 3 books of the Bible. No. Relax. Chill. Take it easy. You can even say a proverb a day, because there are 30 proverbs. 31? You can even begin from the book of Colossians. Step by step. Let's be students of God's word. When you are confused, come to us as pastors. We shall explain as the Holy Spirit leads us. Join adventure in the word. Equip stream so that you can be helped to understand how to study God's word. Otherwise, you're going to be drifting in your walk with the Lord. You won't be fruitful. Secondly, let's be people obedient to the word of God. It's not enough to know. It's in doing God's word that the world gets to see that we are believers in Christ. But also, that's where fruitfulness comes. But also, we cannot keep this word on the inside of us and say, just watch me. I know I'm a Christian. We got to open our mouths and share God's word through preaching the gospel, through walking with people who are young in the faith. If you're in a cell, and maybe some of the people are young in the faith, and for you are more knowledgeable, don't say, they're so young for me. Let me look for a cell where people are deeper. That's pride. Just say, you know what, God, I thank you for this opportunity. I have some young people in this cell. I want to be a father to them. And as you teach me, I want to overflow to them so they too can grow. Amen? And as we do that together, what's going to happen? There's going to be fruitfulness in our lives. Be rooted in Christ by being devoted to his word. Now you could be in this place. And maybe for you, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You're welcome. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus is here, accepts you the way you are, and welcomes you the way you are, and he will forgive all of your sins, and you become part of his family, and then will begin to change you a day at a time as you remain in him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, I'm grateful for your word, grateful that you are with us in this place. I'm grateful that you want us to grow and become more like you, to become fruitful, because this world needs authentic people who bear the fruit of Christ. And here we are as your people, planted in this city, as we remain rooted in you and your word in our hearts. As we obey it, you are going to use us to be transformational agents, beginning with ourselves, our families, wherever we are. And that is our vision, oh God. So I pray for every believer here, God, I pray. Give us your spirit to lead us in the truth of your word. And for that word that we know, may we be doers of the word, obedient. But also let's not be people who are keeping the word to ourselves. Let's freely share, because we have received freely. You are asking us to freely give away what we have received. God, I thank you for your word. But also, I know in this room, in many rooms represented here online, there could be people who are saying, but God, can I be accepted? Can I be forgiven? Can I even have a relationship with the Holy God? And the answer is yes, in Jesus. They can. And I pray today that today may they have the confidence to say, here I am, save me, forgive me, give me new life. If that is you in this room today, saying, Pastor Eddie, pray for me, I would like to surrender my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are online, a link is showing up, click it. Would love to get in touch with you because you matter, we are family. If you're in this place, you're saying, pray with me, Pastor Eddie, today. Would you raise your hand wherever you are? Let me pray for you. Lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Raise your hand today.
Raise that hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Don't allow fear to stop you from receiving a beautiful gift. God bless you. Upstairs, raise your hand. Down here, raise your hand. Today is your day. God knew you'd be in this place. You sense the tugging on your heart. God bless you. You sense the tugging on your heart. That is God saying, this is your day. This is your moment. Raise your hand. God bless you. Is there any last person? Because you matter. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Lift up your hand wherever you are. For those listening on air, write to us, connect@watotochurch.com. We'd love to get in touch with you. Now, together with my friends who have raised their hands here, I would like us to pray this prayer. Mean it from your heart. Let's verbalize what God is doing in our hearts. And church family, let's help our friends to pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for your forgiveness. Today, I receive your forgiveness. I receive new life. I confess that you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I am born again. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody can say amen. Can we celebrate our friends? I've said yes to Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,